due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
Thank you, Dad. I don't know what to say. I mean, these people are all so supportive of me winning this award, and I mean, it's so unexpected. It is our family's legacy, and I do just have a few prepared remarks. I didn't expect to win, but I did just prepare something just in case.
Here comes the money.
This is Shane McMahon from the World Wrestling Federation, and you're listening to The Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Welcome to the Pain Clinic for February 27th. Real quick, couple holidays. It's Polar Bear Day and No Brainer Day. That's right up my alley. No Brainer. By the way, I'm the Cash Man Richie Rich. I'm back from scrubbing the hot tub of love last weekend.
Did you leave it smelling lemony fresh?
It did. It did, yes. And there's no evidence of anything taking place there. I'm here Thank also you. With D.C. Dan Cole. How are you doing this morning, D.C.?
I'm doing fine. And, of course, good morning.
And, of course, to your left, to my right, man who, you know, I know you guys, this is kind of a weird announcement, but this man you've been waiting to play out for months here in Rochester. This man, he's going to play out, and definitely go see him tonight. It's the Mark Fantasia. Mark, how are you doing, brother?
I'm doing excellent.
Hold on a second.
We have
a little flashback to last week here.
I am. I'm so a little upset with what happened on the air. As many remember, Danny hung up on me when
I was
calling in to do my duly my jobs. But
snowball.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, either way, but feeling good, ready to go.
Okay. You know, I know you're playing out tonight, and I know there's another guy, Bruce Springs something or another, who's playing out in town today.
Yeah, actually, Bruce and I are both playing together.
Are you? You are.
At Flaherty's in Webster from 9 to 12.
9 to 12 tonight. You can catch the Mark Fantasia playing. I see you got your guitar up here today, so maybe you'll like play a song for us. Because you know, anybody who walks around with a guitar really should be just busted out.
Well, if it's going to be a wrestling theme, Danny and I only know the Wyatt theme, but we could do that for you.
Okay. You know, you also know Cannonball. What's the one that Miley Cyrus does?
Wrecking Ball.
Wrecking Ball. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a one-time show, Cash.
Okay, gotcha. Gotcha on that. Okay, and also we're joined in the studio today by the promoter of IWF. You go by Ron. Your full name, Ron, or by your. Hold on a second. I got to turn your mic on. Let me try that again. You go by your real name?
I go by Ron Falco. Yeah.
Ron Falco. Ron,
yeah.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah, I was going to call you Obama. No, but that's not. We can't let people know about that, right?
Trump. We'll go with Trump.
Obama Trump. He's sitting in the studio today. No, Ron Falco is here, and he is promoting IWF tonight. Let's talk a little bit about your IWF promotion. They're in Brockport tonight, right?
Yeah, we're at the Elks Club on Sweet and Walker Road. We signed actually a one-year deal with them. We're in our third show. And as you guys know, I used to run IWF out in Buffalo, and I decided to bring it home to Rochester, my hometown, and show everybody a little bit of what we used to do over there.
And you were, well, the Letchworth Pines, right?
We actually started out Letchworth Pines and for a while there, and then we did about a year and a half, 2 years in Niagara Falls at the meeting place, and took a little time off from that. And, as you know, I've been wrestling with Hellcat and Upstate for the last 14 years, and, you get your creative juices flowing, so I wanted to kind of bring it back here, use some guys that aren't generally used in the Rochester area, and things have been going great. We're hoping for, if not a sellout, a near sellout tonight.
Very cool. And then you were a couple weeks ago at Pineapple Jack's, right?
Correct. That's KDW. That's kind of Upstate's NXT. I started that about 3 years ago, with Hellcat, and things have been going good there. I've kind of stepped back a little bit and let Hellcat take over that, so he can deal with all the problems with that, and I'll deal with my stuff.
Very cool, very cool. So we'll talk about the show as we go on through the show, but we're going to talk a little bit about the world of wrestling, and usually I save our second segment for talking about our guests, so we're going to talk a little bit about things that happened this past week real quick. I do need to do my plugs before we get too far, though. I want you to know you can join us March 5th for UFC 196 at Salvatore's at the Garage Door. Conor McGregor's taking on now Nate Diaz because, unfortunately, Rafael Dos Anjos or Rafael de Anjos, I don't know. People say it so many different ways.
I jinxed it, didn't I, by hyping it up so much last week.
Yep. Yeah, he broke his foot, and I saw a picture of it, and it is broken. So it's not like he's just making an excuse. So now we got Nate Diaz taking on McGregor, which makes me now want to cheer. Now, I will cheer for McGregor now. Not that I wasn't going to cheer for him before, but, I mean, it's like I'll be more because I hate the I'll admit I dislike the Diaz brothers. They're fun to be in UFC, but I dislike them. But it's gonna be a great fight. That's a week from today as we speak, and we also got Holly Holm defending her belt against Misha Tate on the card.
Oh, Misha. So,
yeah, I know Misha. See, Misha Tate is like the Eva of the WWE, and Holly Holmes is more like the Stephanie McMahon.
Now, what does that mean? Cash, I'm just going to warn you, don't even go there because
you are
confirmed you are outnumbered on this one today.
Okay. Okay.
Yes, Stephanie is fantastic.
Thank you.
All right. All right. Listen, I am not saying it. Believe me, she's a beautiful woman, but I just don't think she's stacks up with a lot of the divas.
All right, and again, I'm sorry, just to, in case we have a new listener today, because you never know. I mean, we keep racking up new listeners every week.
Sure.
Why don't you tell everybody who you think is the hottest person on the WWE roster?
What's her name again? Eva?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she did a great job in the opening promo of Fastlane as the flag girl. Let's move on to the next statement.
Gotcha. Okay. I just because she can't perform doesn't mean I don't think she's a gorgeous woman, you know? You know, I can get back around little imperfections, you know, like she's married, you know, and like, you know, she, you know, I mean, she's a terrible wrestler and stuff like that. I can get around that, you know. I'm just, you know, I mean.
Stephanie's hotter.
Whatever. Oh, Stephanie and her leather tube top or whatever the heck she wears, she comes out in.
The only thing I don't like, I'll at least be honest here, is when Stephanie is like wearing glasses and she does the nose scrunchy thing, it looks like she's trying to keep those glasses to stand. You know what I mean? That weird smile.
I find it kind of cute.
I think that her.
All right.
Okay, let's stop this. I think her overacting's terrible, by the way. And this past Monday, it was terrible.
Wait, she overacts?
Big time, yeah. Huh. Ever since day one, she overacts. So hold on. Do I get another plugs in here? No, that's about it. We're going with that right now. We'll end with that.
We're going live. Let's do this.
March 5th. Oh, are these mics on? March 5th at Salvatore's at the Garage Door, UFC 196. Okay. We're going to go to really talk a little bit about wrestling before we come back and talk about IWF today, but we got a call to start the show. It's Rick from Rochester. What's up, Rick?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
How you doing, Rick?
Good. How long has Baron Corbin been up to the main roster working live events?
Well, he's been doing the last month he's been doing like the opening matches and stuff, you know, the warm-ups.
Okay. So he's getting some work in, so hopefully maybe in the next couple months we might see him up somewhere.
I hope not. I'm not a big fan of Baron Corbin at all. I mean, yes, he's been there forever. If you follow that show that was on, he's been there for 3 years, and, you know, he needs to make it or he's going to be gone. And I think, I mean, he's got the size and everything. It's just, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of the character.
Tough guy, him in NXT.
Yeah, tough guy. I like that.
Yeah,
but,
you know, I don't know if he'll never make it on the main roster, but I'd like him in NXT.
He'll be come out and do something different as soon as he's debuting on TV.
He'll be the next Tyler Breeze.
Yeah, hopefully not.
Do you think in the near future Jay Lethal might, you know, I mean, that was a great match last night. Do you think he'll drop the title anytime soon, or do you think it's a good move by the company to still have him have the strap?
Well, of course, Jay Lethal. I mean, he's one of the only guys under contract, I think, to Ring of Honor. I don't know beyond that.
It's like him and the Bucks. I'm pretty sure that's all that really is in contract.
No, everyone is even, Dalton Castle. I'd much rather see Dalton Castle hold it, honestly. I mean, it's because I'm selfish and I like guys that started here to succeed. And Dalton Castle is like, you know, him and, you know, he's doing fantastic there. I'm sure. And I know that time, I heard one time they actually had to turn down a TNA contract because Ring of Honor paid him more. So which is a good thing. But
now you don't
Jay Lethal's a great wrestler. He's a good guy to have the stuff on. I think eventually you're gonna have to get a bigger, meaner dude to do it. And there's a lot of guys in there. I like what's his name from the Red Dragon.
Bobby Fish.
Yeah, Bobby Fish. Another guy we see around here a lot too. You know, we used to see around here a lot.
Do you think WWE's ever contacted Lethal or Dalton?
I'm sure they've talked to. They can't. It's called tampering if they're under contract, but if they're not, I'm sure they've talked to everybody.
Okay, I thought you said that before, that he might have got contacted
He was up for a contract with Ring of Honor, and TNA offered him money, so they wanted him to do the Peacock of the Walk and stuff like that, like he does now, you know, and he would have done it and probably would have gotten over huge in TNA, too.
Okay, and two other things, man. What a pop did Shane get? Wow, that was awesome. That was
yeah. Too bad.
He ended. Really genuine in what he was saying.
Too bad it ended. Genuine. It's a storyline. If you read.
No, after it came during the commercial break, man. Oh.
Well, he was like getting weepy because the crowd were chanting swears at him, you know, and whatnot. So, I don't know. I like to be. Let's talk about that while we're at it, Rick. You brought it up. We were talking about it before, Danny.
Well, do you have one more statement before we let you go, and we can talk about the Shane, because I think we're going to probably talk about that.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Shane for a bit. So, what else, Rick? Real quick.
Well, actually, on the same note as that, I think I predict that he'll obviously beat Taker, and Taker will try to screw over for Vince for ruining a streak at Mania.
What streak? Do you mean the one-year winning streak? I don't know. I don't know where it's going to go. Obviously, it's a complicated, convoluted story, so who knows where it'll end. But, okay, thanks for calling, Rick. Let's talk about Shane O'Mac coming back. Obviously, when I heard that they were announcing an award the week before, that obviously this was a utensil in moving a storyline ahead. Of course, there's a lot of people in this world that actually believe that they were giving an award away to somebody.
For anybody that did think that was a legitimate award, I have some things I'd really like to tell you.
Still got the deed to the Brooklyn Bridge, right?
I actually thought it, the whole time, I thought it was Vince giving it to Vince. I thought it was going to be that, and I thought that was going to be a storyline, and I don't know where it was going to go from there. I thought that's all it was going to be.
I'm not going to lie. I agree. I think it was exactly the same thing, that Vince was going to give it to Vince. And I'm not going to lie. I mean, we're all fans. This is how we got started. And when Shane O'Mac's music hit, I popped like a 12-year-old kid.
Yep.
I'm not going to lie.
Everybody calls me the Mark. Definitely marked out. I texted Danny. I go, please tell me you're awake, and he didn't answer any of the texts.
Okay, now that's the beginning of this whole segment. Now, by the end of the Shane segment, were you still believing that? And the thing is, Shane obviously, he had his lines down. It's obvious. You could see, because he was delivering them in more of a soft-spoken way than I think he was. You know, there wasn't a lot of excitement behind, I think, you know, him.
His voice has changed.
Everyone.
I was expecting the high pitch, and it was totally different.
Yeah, as thrilled as I was to see him finally back, yeah, like you said, my feelings at the end of the segment, totally different. Still thrilled to see him back, but really disappointed with the way they're going to use him. Now, granted, it's WWE, and there's still 6 weeks, 5 weeks to go until WrestleMania. And if anybody thought that Vince McMahon award was legit, then you're probably thinking it's still going to be a one-on-one match. There's going to be so much involvement in this one.
Yeah.
There's going to be so much going on.
This is probably the one match you will look forward to, because it's going to turn into Sting Triple H last year.
So wait, now I'm looking
more
in the cell
to this
too
than I am Roman Reigns Triple H.
Oh, hell yeah, me too.
So that being said, of all people, write on your Facebook, you write, oh, this reeks of desperation.
It does.
Who cares? But either way, you just said that's the thing you're looking forward to the most.
Hold on. I'll tell you why it reeks of desperation. They had nobody else. Okay? The thing is that what I learned back during the heyday of the Attitude Era was, you know why the McMahons were on TV so much? Because they couldn't afford more people, to pay more people. So they used the family members who were on tour with the group and added them as characters onto the TV show because they didn't have to pay them anymore. And so to me, believe me, Shane got his name as I call him Stunt Kid, because he was doing the 9-story fall when he was fighting on the Titantron, and he did. Remember when Kurt Angle belly to bellied him into the
king of the ring
17 times until it broke.
Yeah, he kept bouncing off of it, and he landed on his head a few times. And you know, I mean, he was, whenever you had him in a match, you got that. And he did the Van Terminator. You know, even after Rob Van Dam did it for years in ECW, he did it. Claimed it as his own. He got a nice launch there. Of course, and then he did a giant elbow off onto the announcer's table. You know, that's what you can look forward to in this match. One huge stunt. And it's Hell in the Cell. So obviously we're looking at like a Mick Foley type of situation here.
You know, I kind of agree with you that it is maybe desperation, but if we remember back 15 or so years when the WWE was about to go under, and they went to an edgier product. I mean, that also is desperation, but in their whole span of TV, that was probably some of the most intriguing.
Oh, yeah, it worked. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say it didn't work. This is going to work. Believe me, it'll be the match that everyone's looking forward to on the pay-per-view. But is it going to sell 100,000 seats in Dallas? That's, you know, they wanted John Cena. They wanted, you know, all the guys who are hurt now. Daniel Bryan's out, you know, for good.
I still think, and I said it to you before we went on the air, they will sell close to what they need to, even if the week before they are dropping the tickets to $10. They have to, because they put their foot in their mouth. It's going to sell out. Vince Russo said it. It's going to be that big field crowd. It's going to at least beat WrestleMania 3.
Yeah. They'll pay for the crowd if they got to get people to fill it in. Someone was telling me it's already sold out, and then I went online and found for floor seats. You know?
Oh, yeah, no, you can still get really great seats.
Yes, it's $2,000 or $3,000 seats, but they are on the floor in the first section in front of the ring.
What you're doing with your tax return this year? You're buying the pain clinic tickets?
Yeah, right. We're flying down in my personal jet. So.
Okay, sweet. Make it happen, Sammy.
All right. Well, we got to go to break. We got to talk some IWF wrestling. The show is today, Shamrocks and Headlocks. You know,
great name.
Yeah, we are approaching St. Patrick's Day, so I see that comes. I get it. You know, I get jokes, but we're going to break.
I get jokes. I'm hip.
We'll be back on the flip side. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
And Dean Ambrose takes a competitive triple threat wrestling match and turns it into a down and dirty, no holds barred street fight, and takes my client Brock Lesnar out of the equation for the main event of WrestleMania. This pisses off Brock Lesnar.
I did what I did last week because it was the right thing to do. And you're right, sometimes I do have a lot more heart than brains, but I'll always do what's right.
The Vincent J. McMahon Legacy of Excellence Award. Phenomenal idea, amazing, and should be bestowed upon someone who's a worthy recipient. And that's not you.
Our legacy will not be defined by a piece of furniture. Our legacy will be defined by our accomplishments. And that's why you and all of you will never, ever see the tables again.
This is Brutus the Barber Beefcake. Hey, you're listening to the Pain Clinic.
All right, welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man Rich. We're doing our Bailey dance around the studio. Bailey, have you been following Bailey and Finn Balor?
I actually said I'm going to quit my job and go on tour with NXT because their live shows are the only thing that.
Did you see
like
the dirty dancing?
Yes,
that was. Finn Balor and Finn Bálor. And first of all, when he's hurt, she came out and did his entrance. And then he did her entrance.
In Albany.
Yeah. I know we have friends of the show who were there.
We were supposed to go.
Where are you supposed to go?
Well, Danny and I talked about going. But
oh, did you?
It was kind of a contingency on the Super Bowl.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't win my bets. Money. Yeah. So I didn't have money. So.
Well, what happened to all the money from the Royal Rumble?
Oh, he spent that.
wife's birthday present.
Gotcha.
Same. By the way,
she know what it is, by the way?
No, she still has no idea. And
hey, Laura,
also,
let me tell you something. No, go ahead.
That's also where my first place winnings in the wrestling league are going. Just throwing that out there.
Whatever.
Just going to throw that out there.
You definitely throw that out there. Let's get to talk a little bit. Our guy, I'm the cash man, by the way. I'm here with Mark Fantasia, who's playing out tonight at
Flaherty's in Webster. It's right next to the Wegmans on Empire. Great place, great food.
Will you
great
do me
drink,
a favor?
Great musician.
Will you do me a favor? If people who wanted to go see Bruce and didn't get a ticket can't go, they can come see you. You'll do a couple Bruce songs, right?
I mean, I'm pretty sure. If I learned one, you just learned like 80 of Bruce's songs.
Okay. Bruce, don't listen to this. Okay.
You know, I actually did get the phone call that Max Weinberg is sick, so.
Danny's a drummer. Danny, how's your hand doing? Have you been able to drum since?
This one, the one I had surgery on. This one, I'm not.
Yeah, that's your.
With this hand.
Yeah, thank you.
This is my good hand.
Good. This is a joke I pulled a couple times last weekend. Thank you.
Real quick, before we do make our transition over, we were talking off the air. We might as well quickly bring it up right now about blood on Raw.
Okay.
Or whatever you want to call it, blood, ketchup, blood capsule, whatever.
Blood pack.
But it did come back, and that was an on-purpose thing. Thoughts?
It was. Well, what it was it's to put over... First of all, Roman Reigns had to have some sort of deviated septum surgery.
It made him look really strong.
Yeah, he had a surgery coming. They needed to explain why he was going to be off for a couple weeks. And plus it sells that Triple H beat him down. And, you know, I mean, I think it does for the angle. I just, you know... But the rule against blood in the WWE has been forever. I mean, even unintentionally, they stop a match and try. Remember when CM Punk got that cut and they kept stopping the match to retape his head up? I think that, you know, I mean, obviously it was the end of the show and it emphasizes, it allows them to break the PG barrier there.
Well, and can we talk about how that barrier is broken?
Okay.
His video came out on Tuesday morning.
If you saw closely, there's a certain announcer who had a blood pack in his hand that handed it to Roman Reigns when he was...
And said, hey, Roman, here's your blood capsule.
Yeah. Bite down. Huh.
Good job.
We are
good
joined
job,
by Byron. Ron Falco from IWF. You guys never bleed in IWF, right?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, there are commissions and stuff like that, and you know, but not intentionally, at least.
Not intentionally. Duffy, you won't be there tonight, will you?
All right. So, yeah, it was you know, it was something, you know, it's a rule they broke of their own just to sell the pay-per-view. I give him a lot of credit for it, and maybe he'll be back in a couple weeks. He did have surgery the next day. So
I did see a video, actually, in a tables match or something Sheamus put him through. You'll be able to see that video online, and the table came back down and hit Roman in the face. It was from a live event this weekend before.
So that's
I think it was a Saturday night before the pay-per-view.
And that's probably what they were fixing then.
It is. You could see where the table came right down, smash him in the face.
Yeah. Well, you're saying Sheamus hurt somebody?
No.
Yeah, right?
No, he only ended right Daniel Bryan's career, you know.
Oh. All right. By the way, at the pay-per-view,
he did.
Real quick, did Ryback hurt Luke Harper? Because it looked like Harper ran out of the ring pretty quick, looked like he was hurt.
I don't know if it was him hurting or just our boy Luke being really good at selling that.
They had to get out too.
Maybe it was a really awesome feed that the network was giving out because.
Oh yeah, I heard issues. People were having issues watching that.
I almost put my hand through my TV, just so you know.
Yeah, don't do that, Mark. Mark, you get a little.
It's still real to me, damn it.
You get a little emotionally invested in
this.
So, now we're going to go to talk to a little bit about Mr. Ron Falco, IWF today, sir. It is in Brockport at the VFW, is it?
The Elks Lodge.
The Elks Lodge, sorry. The Elks Lodge. And of course, our Dan Cole, DC, a big fan of the shows there. You've been there. You saw a champion crowd not too long ago.
I've been to both of their shows. I had my tickets for this one. Well before, you know, in advance of today. And for if you haven't been out, I went to the first show, fantastic. Last show they did, they crowned their champion. That tournament they put on, in addition to all the other matches on the card, was just really phenomenal. Like, I haven't had that much fun watching wrestling, especially locally, in quite some time.
And you know what I always say? If you can go to a little independent show, you're not going to be in the nosebleeds. You might even be in the action if you're sitting too close. You know, because sometimes it spills out into the crowd a little bit.
I was sitting like third row, but next to where they enter. And yeah, I was getting like guys getting tossed out of the ring and they were coming flying into the guardrails next to me. It's fantastic.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, and you pay a fortune to sit in the front row of WWE. Not so much, but you get the same action, if not better athletes here. You know, guys are willing to put their neck on the line to entertain everybody.
And the way the Elks is set up too, every seat is phenomenal. It doesn't matter where you're sitting. You're getting a great view of all the action going on.
You know, let me start by saying, first of all, I mean, I really do appreciate you guys, you know, letting me come on here and you guys covering the show and saying such nice things. And I guess the only thing that I do differently is, I mean, I got a great group of guys. Like you alluded to, we crowned our new champion, Kevin Bennett, out of Buffalo, who is actually a phenomenal hip-hop artist. You can check his stuff out under Evident Truth or Kevin Bennett on YouTube. Tons of followers. But I have guys like Coconut Jones. I got Sean Carr, who I brought in from 2CW, who's blowing up in this area. I mean, he's wrestling
amazing
some of the top guys in the state. You know, guys that have been around forever, like Hellcat, new guys like Matic. I try to give these guys a little more say in what they do. Because, you know, I mean, if you have more say in what you do, you're going to put more of your heart into it. You're going to enjoy it more. And the fans are actually going to feel that coming from you. So that's really what I try to do. I mean, I have such great guys. I have my son sitting next to me who's been setting up chairs since he was 5 years old. He's one of my wrestlers now. And a lot of up-and-coming guys. And I cannot be prouder, more proud of all the guys that we have.
Yeah,
and girls coming in soon.
Very cool. And I was going to say, and Big Cat Lemmer. I might as well throw that out there.
Can I just say that our guest here has been relentless going after Lemmer the past two shows. It's been something to see.
He's a big man. He's very well liked. And I will, you know, in case anybody missed the last show, I don't hate everybody. I don't hate the fans. I actually appreciate them. I just don't like Big Cat. You know, he disappears for 20, 30 years, comes back, wrestles for me, gets the biggest pop on the show. I don't get it. I just don't get it. I don't see any hurricanranas coming out of his big goofy butt.
Yeah, he's not like AJ Styles walking in WWE, right?
No. But he is very well liked, very well. And I will say, all joking aside, I have the utmost respect for Big Cat Lemmer. He's a fantastic guy until I beat him down.
Yeah, old school, new millennium guy, too, you know?
Yeah, I mean, way back.
Yeah, he's been around. So let's talk, Ron, about how you got involved in wrestling. Because I think we've had you up a couple times, but I don't think we ever really got the story behind how you got started.
It actually started a long time ago. My cousin Scott, he said, hey, do you want to go see a wrestling show? And it was actually on South Avenue, the German House, and it was one of Ian DeKay's shows.
Okay.
And went there and had a great time, watched Rick Matrix and Big Cat and Kid Justice and all the guys, you know, Charisma, who's now Frank the Tank Burlington, wrestling for me. It was a fantastic show. I met Ian after the show, and he's like, oh, you know, I got a school opening up. You guys should come down and check it out. So we went down to Plymouth Avenue, and I brought my kid, who this is actually my first wrestling picture, is him and I in the ring with him pinning me, and he was like 4 or 5 years old. And I still actually have it up on a frame in the hallway of my house. Ian asked me if I wanted to start training, and I'm like, nah, you know, yeah, I'm a fan, but I'll do a manager or, something like that, or a referee, and training got started, and one thing led to another, and I've been doing it for the last 14 years.
That's right, and people know you in town, I mean, you've wrestled under a couple of personas. I'm not going to give anything away, but...
No, it's okay. I started out under the mask as Triple X, started out with Kid Justice, and actually lost the mask probably 4 years ago in a tag match. It was me and Cheech versus Brody Lee and Frank the Tank Burlington. And that started an angle where I wrestled Brody for quite a while, and I wrestled him on his last night before he went to the WWE.
And you guys know Brody Lee, maybe even known better as Luke Harper, local wrestler that... so you've had a lot of experience with him, which is pretty cool. I think there's a tight-knit wrestling brotherhood here in town. You know, I get that feeling, you know. I mean, because you guys are, you know, interchangeable a lot of times at the shows, yours, Mike's, UPW's, the KDW's too. So, I mean, but there's a lot of respect and love between you guys.
We love each other. We love to hate each other, but we always have each other's back.
That's very cool. And so that's awesome. And so now let's talk a little bit. You know, of course, Brody Lee, Luke Harper, a guy you know very well. How does it make you feel when that guy debuted a couple of years ago, right after WrestleMania? I mean, we all knew it was coming because we had heard forever that they were doing the dark shows, dark matches and stuff. In fact, I went to WrestleMania 28, and there's a guy who sat two seats to the left of me who went to, he talked, he knew about Brody because of the yeah, yeah, yeahs from, he was the New Jersey champion. He was the champ, I think it was New Jersey Pro Wrestling. He was a champ there, and he's like, yeah, I remember this guy. He's like, you know, he was down at the, what's it called the day before WrestleMania when you can get interviews and stuff, or you can get,
Access.
He was, he said, I met him down at Access, and he actually wrestled a match at Access, and I go, and I said, you know, that's funny, dude lives, you know, I mean, he and I are both from Irondequoit, so it's like, you know, I've seen him, you know, we played softball together for a bunch of years, you know? And he's like, he goes, and then when they finally debuted, like the next night, I think it was just, it just blew our minds big time.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I've known him really since the start when nobody was talking to me. He kind of, we kind of would roll around the ring together. He'd give me pointers, and over the years, we've become really good friends. And you always knew, I mean, wrestling aside, he's got that kind of personality that you're just, you know, you're drawn to. He's such a good guy. I mean, he's a legit good guy. So when he debuted on TV, I'm not ashamed to admit, you know, he's like a little brother to me, and I dropped some tears. I could not be more proud of not just the wrestler, but the husband and father he's become. He's a fantastic guy, and I cannot say enough good things about him.
Without a doubt, too. I think everybody got a little tear in their eye. I know his wife did, for sure. That's for sure. She's his biggest cheerleader out there, and she was always letting us know, well, he should be debuting soon. She'd send messages and stuff. And so,
you know what I love is that Jim Ross is one of his biggest advocates. He wants him to succeed as a big guy because he knows he can go. And
absolutely.
He's a tremendous athlete. And
he's got such skill, not just as a big man. He's so fast, he's so quick, he's so agile, and you know they have him as this brute, but I mean he's technically one of the most complete guys I've ever seen.
Well, his first 6 months he's wrestling Daniel Bryan and CM Punk, and he's doing the dive through the ropes onto them, and doing he's doing little man things. And I think
his ladder match with Dolph Ziggler still was one of my favorite ladder matches in the last 10 years.
And I think that they've actually scaled him back a little bit on a lot of doing the high flying stuff. You know, I think
they want him just as the big guys who are just.
It'll keep his career going longer too. That's without a doubt. You know,
absolutely. Yeah. You know, and I'll give you a little personal snippet. He might, if he hears this, he might kill me, but that's okay. He's usually mad at me about something.
That's okay. We're always talking about playing softball with us, so it's like, you know, I mean, if he's gonna get mad, he'll get mad about silly things like that.
Well, you guys were talking about the yeah, yeah, yeah. The yeah, yeah, yeah. Actually, if I remember what he told me correctly, his son, little Brody, was watching him on TV. He's pointing to the TV. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he implemented that into his character from that point on, which I think is actually kind of
And that's cute. Cool how that's people cool. people only know. I mean, that's how he's like, yeah, it's the yeah, yeah, yeah guy. You know, that's how people knew him before he made it into the, you know, into the big show. But he's very cool. It's very cool that we have our local rep, and he he's still around town once in a while. You get to see him, you know, if you're lucky. But now he's on an incredible journey to WrestleMania. So hopefully we'll find out soon what he's doing. But. So I meant to ask you, being a promoter, I mean, what do you think? I mean, WWE starts doing these smaller shows, these NXT shows. Do you think that's trying to take some of the money out of the promoters who are doing the smaller shows' pockets because of the way that they're touring around, like maybe, you know, some of the hot spots for independent wrestling?
Well, I guess in a way, if when they come to town, you know, I mean, in a way, it'll take out of the pocket of the indie promoters. But in a way, you know, if you think about it, people will realize, hey, these smaller shows are actually really good. And once NXT leaves town, you know, hopefully people will look more towards the indie shows. And, you know, in retrospect, down the road, I believe it could bump up attendance on the indie show. So I'm all for NXT coming to town, as long as it's not on the same night that I'm having a show.
Oh, sure. Or even, you don't even want it close to it, right?
No,
not a couple of weeks near.
Well, there's such limited income. People have such limited income these days that they got to kind of pick and choose. And, you know, a city the size of Rochester, you know, there's so many sports teams that you kind of really got to pick and choose. People don't have the money to continuously go to these things. So as a promoter, basically, you have to go out there and put on a product that is different than everybody else. And that's what I pride IWF on. I got big guys. I got bruisers. I got some of the best technical wrestlers anywhere, bar none. So, and hopefully with that and, you know, the characters and the stories and all that, hopefully that draws enough people in. And each show, I mean, this is our third show in Brockport. Each show we have grown. And as I said earlier, hopefully, this show will, will be a sellout, if not close to.
Well, we'll try to certainly help. But we're going to talk about the lineup of the crowd when we get through to the flip side. But how about we do this right now? Caller 12 and 13, you get a pair of tickets each for those callers for the show tonight. It's in Brockport. Only call if you can go, guys. 222-1280, star 1280 is the number. Mark's got his phone going. Yeah, we're going to give away two pairs of tickets, caller 12 and 13. Keep trying, and we're going to be back on the flip side with Ron Felco from IWF. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
Allow me to introduce myself. I am a man of wealth and taste. I've been around for a long, long year and lay many a man's soul to waste. The Rolling Stones' Sympathy for the Devil could have been written about me. Am I the devil? Maybe. Just depends on who you ask.
But there's three of them. Two of us.
Yeah.
We need a partner.
Yeah.
Who can we get? Oh, you went to Japan. You got Funaki's number?
Nah. He never gave it to me. You believe that?
I don't know who your partner can be. I think the WSM should join the Y2AJ tonight.
Dirt.
The world's strongest man?
Hey, it's WWE superstar Kofi Kingston, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK, Rochester Sports Talk. Listen and feel the pain.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I had to do a little, Triple H quotes the Rolling Stones. So, I have to run them a little bit. Why not?
That was great, by the way. Excellent job.
Yeah, a little editing there before.
Speaking of hearing Kofi Kingston, can we talk about absolutely how bad that New Day Edge and Christian segment was at the pay-per-view?
Yes, let's talk about how bad that was.
They really should have put Del Rio and Kalisto on the pay-per-view. That match, that 2 out of 3 falls match, was better than most of the matches on the card.
That doesn't make you want to watch the new show?
Not at all. Okay. Matter of fact, I still haven't even watched a minute of it.
I started to watch it just because it came on right after the pay-per-view. I got into 5 minutes. I'm like, no.
Yeah, that whole opening Vince thing. I saw just that, and then I go, never mind. We're done.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, sometimes things miss. And, listen, the show that they're putting out, I think it's pretty much they, recorded it in, a two-week period, a whole season of shows. So not everything's going to hit.
How could you not just save that segment for Raw? How do you put that on the pay-per-view? It had no build towards WrestleMania. This is what this pay-per-view is supposed to be. And you literally put a great U.S. Championship match on the pre-show to put that crap on there. And then the League of Nations came out. Everyone wanted End Zone Cass.
Yeah.
They were chanting for End Zone Cass. And out comes League of Nations.
Yeah.
God bless you.
Well, you know what? Not everything is a hit. You know, and I'm surprised.
Nothing is a hit. That pay-per-view is horrible.
Yes. Well, we had a lot of expectations for it. I'll just say that. Go ahead, Danny.
Whoa, Danny's about to die. You all right?
We really didn't talk about the pay-per-view a lot. So let's just talk about this real quick. We all knew Roman Reigns was going to win.
Yeah.
That was never in doubt. That's not why I'm mad. I'm mad because he no-sold chair shots.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He just took 5-6 straight shots and then gets up like nothing happened.
Well, and can we also talk about the we're going to do Ring Around the Rosie instead of this year's Tug of War. We're just going to stand around the ring, but we're just going to go in circles, and that's how we're going to end this pay-per-view. I was like, really? That's it? Triple H comes out, that's how we ended it?
I would have rather had the Tug of War.
Well, I will say one thing.
My belt.
They have more people watching on Monday than they do on their pay-per-views, okay, because you have to subscribe to be able to watch the pay-per-view. So they probably should have, you're right, they probably should have saved the Edge and Christian thing for the Monday night when everyone was watching, but they were debuting post the pay-per-view, so that's why they did that. But that, yeah, this pay-per-view was like, okay, it's going to set up a lot of stuff. No, they waited to the Monday after to pull out Shane McMahon and you know, start making matches. But, it's, you know what? It definitely left a bad taste in my mouth, especially being the one right before the last, the big one, you know? So it didn't set anything up pretty much, except for Roman Reigns, which we knew before the pay-per-view started.
Well, a special shout-out. He's sick today, but special shout-out to our friend Bart over at Pineapple Jacks. He was pretty much front row the entire pay-per-view. You could not see him, and he had a great video of when Roman Reigns walked right by him. He was the first seat that when he walked right by into the entrance before he hops over the barricade. So he had great tickets. So
Bart is a phenomenal fan. He's a friend of mine, and actually he was very he was a primary player in getting KDW into Pineapple Jacks, because he books the band, he books everything that goes on at Pineapple Jacks. He also books shows all over town.
Oh, yeah.
All over town. He's a good guy.
The Sin City Productions.
Yep, Sin City Productions.
In fact, Mark Fantasia is booked for Pineapple Jacks coming up around, what was it?
On St. Patrick's Day, Thursday, obviously, the 17th, from 7 to 9. I will be drinking green beer.
And you'll be throwing shillelaghs at everybody, right?
No, that was more of a pirate.
That's not a euphemism, is it?
It'd be.
Please. No.
Okay.
So, and so you know, Ron Falco and Jordan Falco actually work at Pineapple Jacks and will either be serving you these beers or I will be drinking them with you.
All right.
Excellent.
Mark did play there a couple months ago. Pretty
yeah,
good crowd.
We did, yeah.
It was some sort of Christmas party for another company, but we were all having a good time.
I did.
I always have a good time.
I'm going to have a good time tonight. Flaherty's.
That's right. Flaherty's. You're playing there tonight, right?
Right here. In Webster.
And when Bruce gets done off the stage at the Blue Cross Arena, he's coming right down to hang out at Flaherty's with you.
Maybe we were born to run.
Yeah, something like that.
I'm practicing for tonight. I'm going to get my Bruce down.
All right. So, Mr. Ron Falco, thank you so much for coming up here and talking about IWF today. Can you give, like, a couple guys that were calling want to know the exact address of the arena? Let's see. I think I have it on my Facebook page, though. It's in
4400 Swedenwalker Road.
So if you want tickets, that's where you're going to get it. 4400 Swedenwalker.
Pretty much as soon as you get off of 31A and you get onto Swedenwalker Road, it's one of the first buildings right past, I think there's a Burn Dairy or something right there.
Yeah, you're going to be on 31. Right, you're going to see a Burn Dairy at the big intersection. Head towards the lake. It'll be on your right-hand side.
I know it sounds like it's out there, but it's actually one of the main roads out there.
Really?
And please come out to Stone Yard Grill after and have some drinks with all the guys.
Do you have any? Do you have a lineup for who's going to be wrestling tonight that we might be looking forward to?
We do. I'll be wrestling Big Cat Lemmer.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, yeah. My son here is actually wrestling the ESW heavyweight champion, Will Calrissian, formerly Mastiff.
Hey, pull that mic up in front of you for a second. Man. You are a second generation Rochesterian wrestler, or maybe third. I don't know. I mean, second, but you know. So when we used to come out to the shows, you were 4 or 5, and now the bug has bitten you. Obviously, what's it like? With your dad being like the mentor and everything.
It's actually pretty crazy. I mean, I never thought I would actually get into it. He was one of those dads that was in the business, and he continuously told me, you're not going to do this, you're not going to do this, you're not going to do this. My 16th birthday came around, and he said, all right, when are you going to start training?
as long as he's helping you out with that, he knows you're not going to get, no one's going to take advantage of you or anything.
Absolutely. And, I mean, after him beating me up for 9 months, I think it was definitely worth it to him for me to get in there. But it's definitely fun to work for him as well, with him being a promoter for IWF and all that. It's really fun to actually wrestle for him as well.
You guys don't have that Vince and Shane relationship, do you?
We did. Once I power bombed him through the table, that kind of ended all that. So
yeah, and suplexed me through a ladder, all that good stuff.
It's considered child abuse some places.
Only in wrestling can you get away
with
it.
The one time nobody can call CPS on you.
Yeah.
Listen to Vince. Yeah, remember? Listen to Vince on Raw. Shane goes, oh, yeah, I remember those beatings.
So very cool. So, yeah, it's cool that you're enjoying it now. Is your dad's a power style? Are you more of a high flyer or you play the power game?
When I started, I wanted to do all the high flying stuff. Because, I mean, who doesn't? But I definitely started to hone in on actually becoming a better all-around wrestler. I mean, with my dad being one of my trainers, then Hellcat also being one of my in-ring trainers, they definitely, being the older school style, definitely made me be a wrestler. I was a wrestling fan of the new style stuff, so I incorporate that, but they taught me on the old style stuff, so.
You know, he also has Brody that whispers in his ear, and, you know, Colin Delaney, Mark House. I think one of the last things is telling a story in the ring. So, and I hate to say I'm old, so I like old school, but I think that's a missing art in the ring, and that's something the Hellcat Brody and I have instilled in him. Hopefully, he continues.
Agreed.
Yeah. And now, who's the guys that you like growing up? You know, who are the guys that you wanted to be like? Like Shawn. A lot of people say Shawn Michaels is the guy that inspired them.
Yeah, Shawn Michaels is by far the best professional wrestler ever, in my opinion. Okay. So that's definitely who I like. I mean, I use the crotch chop in the ring, so definitely love him for that. But no, definitely him. I mean, and then in the local scene, I'm absolutely honored to wrestle Will tonight. So even him, my dad, you know, Brody Lee, I was a huge, 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 huge fan of, the Olsen twins, for some reason. I love Jimmy and
Mary-Kate
Colin.
And Ashley?
Yeah. Yeah, I love them. We actually saw
Jimmy Olsen at the last 2CW show. He came out at the very end, and it was one of his, he hasn't really made many appearances lately, so. Yeah. Very cool. Those are good guys to follow. I mean, they always got the crowd into them too, you know. I mean, you know, in the RCW and the RPW and the, you know, all the local individual organizations, those guys always, you know, had fans in their hands. So that's pretty cool, man. Gonna veer just for a second. We got Rashawn on the phone. What's up, buddy?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Y'all were talking about the pay-per-view, good God, earlier. That pay-per-view fell flatter than a Snitsky match, in my opinion.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you that. Sure.
It wasn't their fault.
Here's the difference.
It wasn't their fault.
It wasn't his fault.
Kick the baby.
This is all the WWE's fault.
Kick the baby. Okay, go ahead.
But I really had one thing that came to mind this entire week in wrestling, and it was about Shane McMahon. I just want to know, am I the only person that noticed that Shane McMahon has grown to truly, truly resemble Owen Hart? Like, I even had to Google a picture of Owen Hart and put it up beside the picture of the new Shane McMahon that's grown out.
Looks like a recent Matt LeBlanc.
I gotta give my opinion. I saw three Vince McMahons in the studio, and two of them were men and one was a woman. Okay, that's when Stephanie was in there with him. So I don't know about Owen, but definitely, you know, he's a bigger version of Vince without a doubt. But obviously, with the grays, he's gotten old in the last few years.
I missed him. I got to be honest, I was never a fan of the major attitude era, all that stuff, but I missed him at least as a personality. Having all three of them in the ring again, I marked for that. I thought that was pretty cool, and I actually laughed when they were going back and forth. Stephanie goes, God, you guys are acting like I'm not even here. I was like, good, this is good. That's great storyline. Okay,
we got one more break, then we have one last segment with our guest, Ron Falco, promoter, IWF show today. Do not miss it. It's in Brockport, 4400 Sweden Walker Road, IWF's Shamrocks and Headlocks. We'll be back after this message. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
What's happening? I'm Cole Cabana, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK. That's how we do it, Second City Saints.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man, Richie Rich, here with Mark Fantasia, DC Dan Cole. Don't forget, 1 week from today, we'll be at Salvatore's at the Garage Door, 149 Eastridge Road, for UFC 196. Conor McGregor. I am the Highlander. Conor McGregor versus Nate Diaz.
Misha.
Hey, that's the main event now.
Yes, and we get
true.
Holly Holm and Misha. Misha Tate. Yes, hopefully she didn't get beat up too bad. But nevertheless, that's 1 week from today. Salvatore's Garage Door starts at 10 o'clock, UFC 196. Come hang out with us. We'll have a good time. I promise you. We'll be there, and it'll be a blast. And hey, welcome back to the Pain Clinic. We are here with I'm the Cash Man here with DC Dan Cole, Mark Fantasia, and Ron Felco from IWF. Today they have a show. What time does it start tonight? 7 o'clock?
7 o'clock. Doors open 6:30.
We've got the show is called Shamrocks and Headlocks. 4400 Sweden Walker Road. It's not that far outside of Rochester. Come on out. And you guys, where's the after party again?
Stoneyard Grill right in Brockport on Main Street.
Oh, we know the Stoneyard. We're very good friends with them. They make their own beer there.
Yeah,
and, they heavily support our show, the Dan Moriarty Show on the station.
It really, all of Brockport is supporting IWF. Yep. Stoneyard, Jimmy Z's, Burrito Fresco, Perry's Pizza. It's like the whole community is in on this, and it's fantastic.
You know, the more I think about it, it really is a great location because it's right off of 531. So anybody that's even coming from Rochester, 15 minutes of your drive, you're doing 594, 93, 90, wherever you're coming from, get off 531, you're there. So, I mean, it's a great location.
And, you know, when I originally got the building, my cousin hooked me up with this building. I was a little worried. I thought it was actually further towards Albion. Mm-hmm. And then when I realized it was a little closer to Rochester.
They have an Elks Lodge out there, too. That's why.
Yep. I was kind of worried. I was like, oh, my God, I'm gonna draw from upstate. I don't want any heat there. But
sure.
Actually, I don't get a lot of fans from upstate. And I get a lot of fans from Buffalo, which really surprises me. And I think that's fantastic that they're willing to take the drive.
And it may be because of the guys you're using, too. Because you're using some guys like Eric Aminon. We see him. He's friends with the show and these guys. So he went to high school together with these guys, right? Is that what it was? Yeah.
Which, if you're listening, glad you're doing okay, buddy.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you don't see, like you said, you don't share. There's some talents that aren't shared amongst the two groups. So there's a place for the other guys to go and wrestle, too. So very pretty cool. Quick couple notes before we get out of here. Jimmy Hart's going to be in Rochester May 14th and 15th. You can catch him at Frontier Field May 14th. He'll be doing an autograph signing there. So I think that's pretty cool.
We're so going to that.
Yeah, we got Jimmy. He might have up in the studio. If everything works out right, he'll be up in the studio that day. Man. So I know. We just got to make sure he leaves that megaphone someplace
else. I'm having flashbacks. WrestleMania 25, when me and Mark went down to Houston, I actually got to stand ringside at Access and hand Jimmy Hart his megaphone. It's like handing King Arthur Excalibur. It's like, come on.
You couldn't have thought of another wrestling terminology like the Paul Bearer.
It's like handing
the
Undertaker the urn.
Handing the urn. So
it's like giving Jeff Jarrett a guitar.
Speaking of Undertaker, he is going to be on SmackDown this week, so maybe we'll finally get his say on what's going on.
How can you not put him on your live show? Do you just not care?
I don't know. But also, we got Daniel Bryan's going to be out touring with the WWE in the next couple of weeks, doing a Daniel Bryan Appreciation Night starting at Madison Square Gardens March 25th. So if you're going to a local show that he's on, definitely check him out. One more time, let's plug this IWF tonight. Mr. Felco, we've got the show tonight in Brockport, 7 o'clock. And I just lost the name of it. Hold on. Shamrocks and Headlocks, that's tonight. Address 4400 Sweden Walker Road. What's it cost to get in?
$12 pre-sale, $15 at the door.
Okay, so you're going to see, you'll be within five rows of the most incredible action you've ever seen in your life. Not like, unless you want to spend, $5,000 to get a good ringside at WWE. I say you're going to get better action with these guys. And plus,
you'll get wrestling.
Yeah, and your fans get into it. And I want to thank you so much, you and Ryan, for coming up today, man. It was a pleasure. And please, next time you have a show, come on up again, okay?
I appreciate it. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, we got to get out of here. Please check out our website, thepainclinic.net, our old show. We're on iTunes. Be our friend on Facebook, and we'll see you next week, folks.
You're listening to Rochester Sports Station. This is Fox Sports 1280 WHTK Rochester, an iHeartRadio station.